to the book of Acts, chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. And verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have in your word. Father, we thank you for this time of prayer. And Lord, we pray that you would just bring to our minds and hearts the things that are important to you that we should be praying about. And Lord, just guide us through your word as we meditate on a few principles concerning prayer in the local church. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to save most of the time for prayer, so I just want to share a few thoughts from the scriptures that speak about prayer and the local church. And first and foremost comes to mind Acts 2, verse 42. And here we get a little window into the early church, the local church in the first century, and it was so simple what they did. It was a time of apostolic doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And so prayer was an integral part of the local church right from the very start. And this is what believers did when they gathered together. It was so natural for believers to pray together. Of course, we all share in the same situation, the same kinds of struggles. There are no temptations, but that they are common to men. And so prayer is something that believers would naturally, their hearts would be inclined to do, and to do together. Notice they continued, it was they gathered corporately for prayer. And in Acts chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "And he kneeled down and he prayed with them all." And later in Acts chapter 21, it says, "And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed." And so what we see in the New Testament in the days of the early church was when believers got together, they prayed. They gathered together in order to pray. And also on other occasions, when this particular occasion, when they were saying bye to a brother in the Lord, they knelt down and they prayed together, right there on the beach. This was such an important part of the life of the early church, and it ought to be an important part of our lives as well. And another area, turn to Acts chapter 13, in verse 2, Acts chapter 13. And here we see the church at Antioch gathered together with the teachers and the leaders, and it says in verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away." Here we see the church praying again, only on this occasion, it was appointing leaders, and in particular, missionaries that were being sent out from the local church. This is exactly God's plan. There was no mission board. There was no official function. These were just servants that the Holy Spirit called from the local assembly, and the whole assembly recognized that call, and they all gathered together, and they prayed before they sent them out. And it was such a simple but beautiful picture for us to follow today as well. You know, we see the same thing in Acts chapter 6 when the disciples were having some struggles in the early church. And this was before deacons had been appointed. So there were men who were appointed to serve in what I would refer to as kind of a pre-deacon position, to wait on tables and to take care of some physical needs. And we read in Acts 6, it says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Again, picturing their identification with them in the work of the ministry. So they did that when they sent missionaries out. They did that when men were appointed to positions similar to a deacon today. And we see in Acts 14, it says, and they ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord. So when important parts of the work of the Lord were being conducted, the saints gathered together and they prayed and they sought the will of the Lord. You know, if you're going to send a missionary out to preach the gospel in foreign lands, or if you're going to appoint a man to a position of leadership in the local church, of course we want to pray. Of course we want God's mind in that matter. And we see the same thing for praying for just all of us as regular saints in the local assembly. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And verse 30. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So notice how prayer is described here. Here Paul is asking the believers at Rome to strive together with him and to pray together with the Lord for him. So when servants were appointed to official capacities as officers, there was prayer, and for other functions in the local assembly. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and he says, ye also helping together by prayers for us. So when the apostles gathered, when the apostles came to minister in a local church, they expected to meet together with the body and to pray. It was just such a normal, natural, it was just like breathing to the early church to pray. And then look at another passage, Colossians chapter 4, it speaks of another setting for prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Here, Paul was praying for the local church to pray for him, that God would open doors so that he could preach the mystery of Christ, that he could preach the gospel. That God would open that door, that God would give him the right words to say. And also, he says something similar to the Ephesians. You don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians 6, he said, and pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that God would give me the right words to say, utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly, that God would give the speaker boldness in sharing the gospel, to make known the mystery of the gospel. So here, Paul wanted the body of believers in Ephesus to pray that God would open doors, that God would give him the right words to say, so that he could boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Those previously unrevealed truths that are now necessary to believe if a person's going to be saved concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul said the same thing to the Thessalonians. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified. It wouldn't be a bad idea for the local assembly. We've done it a few times. Maybe we should make it more of a habit when Suzanne is going off to Haiti, or Tracy is going off to Benin, to have a special time of prayer as a body and just pray, Lord, give them opportunity, give them wisdom, give them skill and accuracy in presenting clearly the gospel, and that they might have a fruitful ministry there. Then also we see another occasion of prayer, turn back to the book of Acts again, chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. And here we see that when there were special times of difficulty and persecution, the church gathered together. They had special prayer meetings. And in Acts 12 and verse 5, it says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So this appears to be a prayer meeting that was called especially for that one purpose. Peter was in jail. Peter was in prison. And maybe his life was hanging in the balance. And so the church says, let's all gather together. And they gathered together at a home, and they were praying. Unfortunately, their prayer wasn't completely in faith, because when somebody came to the door and said, Peter's out, they said, no way. He's in jail, don't you know? We're praying for him to get out. Well, those were the times when the church gathered together to pray, in times of persecution. And the ultimate expression of that, I think, is when Stephen was stoned to death. Here he was being stoned to death, and in the middle of being stoned to death, he had his own prayer meeting, and he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And we see something similar. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and beginning in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes or whips upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. But the sentence doesn't end there. And the prisoners heard them. So here we see a prayer meeting where two or three are gathered together. There am I. So here we see Paul and Silas in prison, and they were just beaten. Their backs were still dripping with blood. Now they had their feet chained to the walls. They were thrust into a dungeon. And what they did probably shocked the other prisoners there. They had never seen such a thing, that someone would experience that. Usually they're used to cursing and swearing and maybe trying to punch the wall or yelling out. But here, these two men, they sang praises to God and they prayed to the Lord. And that ought to be the case in our lives as an assembly. When we're facing especially trying times, when difficulties are, when we face difficulties as an assembly, it's not a bad idea to call a special prayer meeting together and let's just pray for that particular need. And even in our own lives, pray when we're facing the kind of persecution or suffering from who knows what, sickness or whatever. We also see the early church praying for the sick. In James chapter 5, James says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so it is good for us to pray for those who are sick, and for someone perhaps who is on their deathbed or really sickly, they may want to pray for the elders to meet with them and encourage them and to pray over them and anoint their head with oil. And that was just a way of refreshing them, encouraging them. There was no value to the oil itself. But we should pray for the sick. And not only for the sick, but we also see in the Bible, in that same epistle, James chapter 5, James taught his readers to pray for believers who were struggling in sin. Maybe you've struggled in sin. I sure have. And here we're told, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, in other words, if that sickness is due to his chastening because of his sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In that setting, James is speaking about praying for a believer who's struggling in sin, whatever it might be. And that's part of the prayer life of a local assembly. Now, there may be occasions when you want to keep that in your prayer closet, private. You don't want to bring up particular sin that a brother shared with you privately about a sin that he's struggling with. You may not want to broadcast that to the whole congregation, or he may not want you to broadcast that. But we can certainly pray before the Lord in our prayer closet. And sometimes a brother might be more open about this and confess to the whole congregation that he's been struggling in his sin. And we would encourage that, so that the whole congregation can pray and the whole congregation can share in the victory as well. And then finally, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Paul never stopped praying for the Colossian believers, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in all understanding. Now, very often we pray for the sick, and we're told to. That's a good thing. But more often than not, our prayer requests are concentrated more on sore elbows and sore back and other physical ailments, and we do that at the expense of praying for the more important spiritual part of the believer's life, to pray that each one of us might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And boy, do we need it in these days, to have the discernment from the Lord, to know his will, how to respond to situations that we may have never faced before. And in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And here's another great prayer request, that every one of us would walk worthy of the Lord. Now, we may be walking with the Lord, filled with the Spirit, but there's room for improvement in every one of our lives, in every one of our walks with the Lord, so that we are unto all pleasing, and that we are fruitful in every good work. We're all lacking in that, so this ought to be a focus in our prayer times, as well as praying for one another that we would increase in the knowledge of God. Now, as believers, I know everybody here knows the Lord, and we may have a mature understanding of the Lord. And we may have been studying the things of Christ for years and years, and we have a mature understanding of who God is. But if we really know, if we have a mature understanding of who God is, then we will know, we will acknowledge that we're only scratching the surface. We need to be strengthened with all might and increase in the knowledge of God. And then Paul prays for strength, to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And why do we need to be strengthened with all might? It's unto patience or endurance and long-suffering. In other words, we need to be praying for these things so that we would be strong in the power of God, so that we could patiently endure whatever we're dealing with. And not just patiently endure, but that we could patiently endure and be long-suffering. In other words, we take it and we're not short-tempered, but we just keep on persevering. But then the real hard part of this prayer request is, it's not just patient endurance, and grinding our teeth and kind of hanging in there till the end, but it's patient endurance and being joyful about it. Thank you, Lord, for the trial. I'm learning a lot through this. These are some of the things that we are encouraged to pray for, and there's many more. Prayer is it's one of those overwhelming subjects in the Bible. There's so much in the Scriptures about how to pray, where to pray, what to pray for, and all the rest. So hopefully that will encourage us to continue our study in prayer.